Welcome to Women's History Month. I am Dr. Barbara Williams, a physician and sociologist who has lived in Michiana for the last 44 years. This month, WVPE and IUSB's Women's and Gender Studies program is celebrating women's contributions to Michiana by presenting a series of interviews with contemporary women who are making history. Today, I am pleased to be with Deb Stanley, a woman whose name came up from several sources as I started to present this project to talk about women. Deb was born in Michiana, moved with her family to Oakland, California in 1964, where, in her own words, she experienced international community that celebrated life and all its peoples. She met revolutionaries, activists, and community change agents. She returned to Michiana in 1988, and she found her way to AIDS Ministries in 1992. Since then, she has been involved in education and activism relating to social health issues. In 2003, she started her own organization to provide education, advocacy, and this led to prevention. She works in the areas of HIV, substance abuse, and criminal justice. Deb, thank you for your service, your persistence, and your activism. My first question is, I understand that you are very successful in your educational approach. How is your approach to the issues surrounding sexuality, socially transmitted disease, a bit different than the standard ones?
Well, the difference in my approach is, and how do I know it's different? This is all I've ever done. But for me, listening always comes first, you know, and that means that for whoever is sitting in front of me at that moment is finding out who they are. What do they need to know? What do they currently know? And how can we take that and build on it as a foundation? And what we do goes beyond the plumbing and morality, because those are like kind of like one-faceted techniques. And so we try to take a holistic approach to the subject because sexuality is a very important part of who we are. One part, but a very important part, equally important to every other part of who we are. And so it's humanizing it, trying to take the subject matter out of the gutter where for too long it has resided, you know, and engage folks in meaningful dialogue that can continue beyond me, you know. And so it starts with the facts. Of course, we have to deal with the facts, but then people bring their own very personal and diverse issues to the subject. You know, they've had many different experiences, you know, so it's incorporating all of that into the forming of the relationship so that the information is accepted and then much is given, because a lot of times I feel like I'm just a carrier of the word. You know, I take information right from one place to another. And so we all grow and become equally smart together.
Well, you know, it's very interesting that you say that, because it is so much part of one's identity. And yet when I think both of us were very young, you got the information from other children or from what you could discern from what was said in whispers and so on. Nowadays, people get it from the media and the social media, from the internet or whatever. But there still is a lot of misinformation out there. And I think it's very important to do the listening, as you rightfully said, that you have to start from where the individuals are coming and then build on that. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise, just presenting facts is going to get you nowhere.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Exactly. What age groups do you mainly work with, and in what kinds of setting?
So throughout my career, I've worked with all age groups. I've done daycare centers all the way up to senior citizens. And so again, the fact that sexuality education goes beyond the genitalia and incorporates who we are as human beings, it's never too early to start. And it's too late if you start with a conversation later on. And so it's helping people understand. So I work with, when I first started, I worked a lot with adolescents. But then understanding that adolescents, all children's first frame of reference is the family. And so I said, okay, how can we incorporate the adults into this as well and make it a family learning experience, you know, and like you said, there's a lot of information out there on the internet and all of that. And so how to help people understand credible information from farcical information, and all the while, you know, promoting the fact that we all need to be knowledgeable. That's, we all need to be equally knowledgeable because, again, we get got by what we don't know or what we pretend not to know. So it's fostering that. And again, you know, how we learn together. Because, again, when we look at a lot of times people ask, well, whose responsibility is it? Is it the schools? Is it the church? Is it the family? And everybody wants to say it's everybody else's fault. And I say it's all of our. It is a collective. But also understanding that throughout our lives, there are few opportunities to learn this. You know, as a physician, I'm hearing that they are just now starting to try to incorporate human sexuality into medical school, the residency programs and things like that. But it's just been so taboo for so long. And again, trying to promote dialogue and begin to question those things. Why? Why is there so much effort put into keeping us ignorant about this aspect of who we are? You know, and so everybody deserves to ask that question of their institutions, whether it's the family, whether it's the church, whether it's the school. But again, understanding that this is something that pretty much has been accepted as on a whole lot of levels as something that will actually take care of itself, so we don't have to talk about it, or an actual intent to keep people ignorant and powerless, you know. So just time to open it all up and question it all. Yes.
I think that's a very good point. And I think also because of the change in time, we also think that the age at which we need to begin our sexuality and human relationships education should only begin when somebody is getting married or late adolescence or young adulthood. But in reality, we're doing that education, whether we like it or not, much younger these days.
Absolutely. And as I was saying before, that it because it is about the totality of who we are, it's giving young people permission to own their own bodies. See, that's it. How we identify different body parts. So, you know, when we have little babies and we are teaching them, you know, we teach this is your nose, this is your ear, this is your chin, this is your finger. So why is it when we get to the genitalia, we start making up names?
Right, exactly. We don't give them the right name. Mm-hmm. We also tell them not to touch that.
Exactly.
We also tell them don't let anybody else touch that. But that then continues on as something that they remember forever.
Right.
Don't let anybody else touch that until you're, quote, married. Then you can let somebody else touch that.
So, again, if we're talking about little bitty kids, again, it's just allowing them to own it and claim it and understand the proper terminology for the body parts very, very early. It's just like as we gradually give young people ownership of their bodies, when they're babies, we do everything for them. We bathe them, we clothe them, and we gradually give them that responsibility for themselves. I'm just saying that this is another area where gradually they, when they begin to bathe themselves, they begin to pick their own clothes, that whole ownership of their bodies and allowing them, just providing the information so that whenever they make whatever decision that they make, it is a healthy one. It is a responsible one. And that's, for us, that's what we, I believe, we need to always be promoting. Health, responsibility, knowledge, all of those kinds of things. Because we can't ever make anybody else's decision for them. But we can do our best to ensure that they are armed so that whenever they make their decision, it's a good, healthy, responsible one.
That's an excellent response, yes. Now, what advice do you have for the future young people who might want to do activism and education in these fields in the future?
Oh, that's a good one. So when I first started, my sheroes were Dr. Ruth, Jocelyn Elders, you know, wise women in their 80s. So I came to this in my 30s. Okay, and a question I'm always, how do you get so comfortable talking about this? So my dream is that young people will claim this information in their teens and in their 20s, and we can all get to the place where we are comfortable talking about this. And so I say to young people, find your voice, claim your voice, own your voice. And do not allow what other people, what you believe other people think of you, be more important than what you believe and think about your own self. You know, the whole reason that I became comfortable with this topic was simply because of the need. Seeing so many people being harmed by their lack of information, knowing that it was time that somebody stood up and shouted loudly about this subject. Oh, yes. You know, looking around at our schools, and in the old days, you know, we used to have Betty Mooney over at IU, who once a semester every spring taught a class. She left. And what are we left with now? I hope you're there. So, again, yeah, just, yeah, that's it. That's it. Be not intimidated. You know in your soul why you are doing what you do, and just go forth. Find you some good allies, people who will support you and affirm you in everything you do. Take good care of yourself and go forth and shout it from the rooftops.
Well, thank you so much for your time and your activism, your persistence, and your service in this community.
Thank you for having me. Nice to have met you.
Wonderful.